settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Avery, where we bring you interdimensional communication between our world and the spirit world. And this week's show is going to be listeners' questions, and if you would like to join us with a question, then we'd love to hear from you. Just remember, though, before I do tell you the numbers, that it's not a reading-style show. What we do is we talk about general information, metaphysical information, anything to do with the spirit world, spiritual development, anything that you think that a spirit guide and his team would have something to enlighten you on. So basically, it's anything to do with thinking outside of the box and learning about things that you probably wouldn't be able to have access to in any other way. So like I say, if you would like to join us with a question, you could, it's a free phone number. In the US and Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international call, is, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery. Oh, and I'd just like to say as well, hi to Doug Newsom, who's the producer of the show this week. And very, very, very many wishes to him that he has a really great week, you know, great time with us and with everyone else who's on BBS Radio, the fabulous and ever-present BBS Radio, of course. And here, live on Spirit's Work, we cross the divide between our physical state and the spirit world and discuss all kinds of things. Now, if you would like to know more about us and maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also live at www.mickavery.com, and that's really kind of, in a sense, for European listeners. And we're also on www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, on Spirit's Work, we do cross the divide between the physical world and the spirit world, discussing all kinds of stuff. Not only metaphysical things, but normal everyday situations that affect us all in our planet. I am a deep trance medium. And live on the show, I channel our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay. When I'm in the true trance state, I don't have any awareness of what's going on at all in the physical world. But with the help of the spirit world, I have developed a method of being able to have a kind of instant out-of-body experience, which enables me to lend my body to the spirit communicator to use in a very pure way. And without further ado, I'm going to say goodbye for this week and hand the show over to Sylvie, because she writes everything and does everything anyway. And I'm just going to go to sleep, and you just have a great time, and hopefully the mechanism and everything else to do with it was going to work fine, and you'll be talking to Gregory very soon. Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
Yes, Mick and his spirit and his consciousness are taken to the spirit world, and he won't know of anything that's happened until he comes back into his body at the end of the show. Very shortly, Gregory will be joining us, and he's the spokesperson for a group of spirits called the White Cloud Group, and they're an educational group. And they're made up of many great minds that that have done this to help us to find out as much knowledge and information that we need to know that it may benefit ourselves, our Earth, and everyone on it. So it's a kind of mission, if you like, to share their knowledge with us in the hope that we can become more aware of the nature of our existence and possibly inspired into making a positive difference to our world. So, once again, if you'd like to know more about us, go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And although this show isn't about readings, personal readings, we do readings, Akashic readings, so you can find out more about that on site as well. So that's to do with your spiritual journey, marrying that up with your physical pathway and well, many beneficial situations can come out of that. So it's quite a rare thing, and it's also very fascinating and quite different, and it's well worth something that might save you doing, so that it saves you many years of searching and maybe going up the wrong pathways and avenues and cutting corners, if you like, to get back, to get onto your path, to know what you're supposed to be doing, you know. So that's basically what that's all about. And anyway, there's much more information on the site, on our Akashic Readings page. And we are here every Sunday, where you can, as I say, communicate with us and ask your questions about general questions. The you can also email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com any other time and send me your email question, because not everybody likes to speak on the phone, and that's fine, I understand that. To be quite honest as well, a lot of the time the conversation and the, it's such an interesting interaction sometimes, you know, well, hopefully all of the time, that the spirit team come with, that I do try to put myself in your position and ask questions on your behalf as it is, to make it stimulating. But if you would like to send your email questions into me, I can ask them on your behalf. And that's fine. If you would like us to do a whole show around a particular topic, I can do that as well. Send me your questions and I will organise that. So, okay, well, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Love and light, my dear friends. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, little bird. Hello, greetings, everyone. It is a pleasure and an honour, as always, to be able to speak with you at this time, and we celebrate this, our cause, in a sense.
Thank you. So is there anything that you would like to talk about before we actually go to the listeners' questions? I do have some here.
Yes, my dear friend, there is something that we would like to talk on.
Okay.
And this is really to do with a matter of breeding.
Breeding?
Breeding.
Okay.
Yes. We understand that in many circles of peoples and populations, that there are a great many different avenues of thought to do with how a population is going to succeed within itself if it, for example, continues to multiply and get bigger and bigger exponentially. It will require more and more demands upon the planet, more and more services, and also at the same time, it will increase the very great pressure upon the Earth itself. This in itself does not have to be a negative. It can be a very great positive, because the more human beings that you have who are then multiplying, then the more it becomes that the underlying current is that you have many people who are rising up, who are becoming more knowledgeable and of age, therefore are able to, in a sense, take that people into different areas of understanding and expertise, because all of these new minds and new forms of education are then creating a balance within itself and are helping perhaps for the actual thought processes then and the educational fields to become more enlightened. So therefore, greater ideas of creativity, greater ways of preservation of their own energy and the energy of the planet can then become enlisted. So you must not think in terms of if there is some kind of population explosion that this is always going to be a negative thing. It can become a very good and positive situation if the armatures are right, if it is set in the right way. The problem comes when you have a society which perhaps in some respects is restrained by its ability to cope with influxes of more people, and therefore the generation of energy or the generation of power that is therefore to be able to make or allow that human situation to become comfortable or to perhaps have a more stable life plan and span within the physical journey, we can see that for some people, they would take offense at any form of wit of control of these events. And yet you will have other people who will actually believe stoically that if, let's say, one section of a society or whatever is poor and therefore unable to afford right and proper education or unable to afford the other accomplishing factors for a person's life, that they should somehow be denied the right for birth or the right for breeding in this respect. And as I say, this all really hinges upon the fact of whether you as a species feel that it is your right, as with all other animals, to maintain your genetic line and therefore inheritance and therefore your power and base control upon your effect upon having a good and conscious physical life. The point that I make here is not without reason, purely and simply because there are many different energies and juxtapositions over a person's mindset or a country's mindset, how they may view perhaps even a certain quality of life within their own strata of family life. We observe for many peoples that they can work very well together, many different tribes, all conforming to one kind of law and abidance of that, and actually make it quite a unified and harmonic situation. And yet in other places, they fight like cat and dog. Even over their own fences, they fight like cat and dog. And that is true. Of course, usually it's something to do with something coming from a governmental standpoint or something like that. So you have conditions at the present time with North and South Korea. You have similar situation in a sense with Palestine and Israel, or Palestine, Lebanon and Israel. You have different situations where other countries round about, with their influence and influx upon certain matters of political stance and maybe religious ideology, that perhaps you see different facets of that ideology being tested again and again for its own superiority and league above another tribe. So you have many different situations where people, when they're breeding, have to take sometimes into account what's happening on their doorstep, and at other times maybe they are simply creating a pattern from the love within themselves, their own physical love for one another. I don't take anything away from this. I'm just merely making the point that many peoples throughout the age of physical life take great store into having an equitable family, having a sort of a situation, which means that you have lots of children, and that's fine, is it not, if you can support them. If you can't support them, then are you then honor bound to appear to the state or the country of affairs which looks after those who are perhaps least well off, and maybe that in a sense stabilizes your family value. For some other people in your country, it may well be that there are others who actually don't like that kind of approach and feel it's quite dishonorable. So you have many different conditions as a race, as a species, about how you are to manage the numbers of beings. As I understand, it's exponentially growing at this present time of a very great and vast number. So this means in itself that the planet itself and its infrastructure of water, of natural resources, of energy, simply cannot cope with that influx of people. Never mind migrational routes of peoples or situations where people actually leave a certain country because of the war or strife or other matters that are being driven into it. We, in a sense, bring this up purely and simply because the world sits in a dangerous place in itself, with people becoming quite avaricious toward one another. There is a lot of demonology, in a sense, from one people, one risk group to another, and that tribal group may well have a very happy influence or a very negative influence upon their neighbors. So we are seeing constantly from one situation to another how it is that the transfer, not of greed in this respect, but of the transfer of energy, how that is really going to make an apparent situation within human physical life bring to bear a great disadvantage to some, an advantage to others. And this really is what we wanted to, in a sense, talk about, because some people feel a great deal of negative energy from it, a disparity from it, actually feel as though they're having their hands tied behind their back, that they can't do anything or say anything against it. But in actual fact, what you have that's taking place is the will of individuals through their own morality code and through what they see as their rite of passage. I am not stating here or suggesting that we on our side of life feel that there is no rite of passage or that human beings should simply stop breeding. But what we're saying is that you have to look at it in a practicable way if you can support this change and these links of new people, then obviously that's of great benefit. And it means that naturally the world will benefit by that introduction of more willing minds, more creative instances, more flair, more originality, coming through their beautiful spirit into their physical existence. We can see quite clearly that these matters then mean not the raising of vibration as in the hierarchical sense, but in the raising of that vibration perhaps to do with their own inner harmony and the way they may then portray their love and express it within their own family value and their own creative partnership with other peoples. And this in itself is, in a sense, a way of putting these things to right. When you have a population of explosion in one country, and it may be that the country itself is quite negative, or that it's quite difficult for peoples to survive in that country, like much of Africa, for example, you will always see that many families actually breed a great deal. They have a great many children. Many of them simply don't survive. And that is true in northern European countries, for example, during and after the post-war years of the Second World War and the First World War. To a certain extent, many influxes of children were born at those times, really to try to reestablish the way prospect might then become a part of that family's physical life. And in a sense, what we see is that in times of strife or times of difficulty, people will naturally gravitate toward having abundance in many different ways, because that's, in a sense, the happiness field. And it's also the way in which they can really, in a sense, make sense of their genetics and ensure that their life path is then a happier one for having understood that their continuance of their genetic will then be continuing throughout and beyond their own physical mortality.
Hmm. Okay, thanks for that. A comment would be from me, obviously, that, you know, opposed to that is the fact that there are too many of us, and that unfortunately the negative situations and the oppression that many are experiencing at the moment,
yes,
doesn't exactly sort of breed, shall we say, sort of very positive offspring. And the, you know, the upliftment of the planet generally in that way.
Yes.
So there are you could talk about this for hours, actually, couldn't you?
Indeed.
You know.
Yes.
Back and forth because
you definitely
do. It's very difficult to be positive when you are in an oppressed society and
a fearful society. Yes, so, and fear that arises from many different directions and many different reasons for it.
Yeah, and on the other hand, if you wait until the time is right before you actually start a family, when everything's fine and everybody's earning enough money and you're living in the right place and, you know, an ideal situation, then that isn't going to happen at the moment, is it?
No, that's very true. You know, that's right.
Not for many, anyway.
No, that's right.
So, on the other hand, yes, they've been talking in this country, in the UK, about somebody said that put his foot in his mouth and said that we shouldn't be breeding if you are working class or lower working class or whatever.
I understand that was a lord, my dear friend.
And was it?
Yes. Lord what? Lord whom?
Yes. Yeah. You know, which I can see his point, and it's okay for him to say, you know, because it's children that have been through things, that have lived, that have survived, that have got their social skills, that have actually, you know, that have gone on to make a difference in this world very often. Most of the actors and actresses, comedians that we listen to that make us laugh, they all mostly have come from working class backgrounds.
Creators, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And I don't know if in the UK do we call working class the same as we do in America, or would they call that middle class? I can't remember. But anyway, the class system is slightly different, talked about in a different way, isn't it?
Yes. And and of course that is not the same as the caste system. In Asian countries.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so the lower end of the scale families basically learn their creativity, you know, the footballers, all of these people, they haven't been born with a silver spoon in their mouth, have they?
Indeed not.
There's not many.
And all of those people who actually make their creative state of being craftspeople.
Yes. As well, yes. Yep. So, you know, what would we do without all of these people? So this is the sort of thing that you know, this person was talking about, basically, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Absolutely so.
Mm. So, okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, let's go on to a listener's question.
Yes, yes.
Okay, here's one. This is from Chris in Oregon.
Yes.
And he said, what are gifts of spirit exactly? You talk about gifts of spirit.
Yes, yes. Gifts of spirit. That is something that means that as a physical being, you may not think that you have anything or that you do not have any qualities, let's say. And you learn and you struggle in your school or whatever it is. For some children, that becomes something that's almost meaningless. For others, they get it. They understand it and perhaps latch on to certain subjects which they find is very core to their value, but not necessarily a gift of spirit. Now, a gift of spirit is, in fact, something that is within your very fiber. So, for example, you may have a small child who is very close to certain kinds or species of animal. Mm-hmm. Maybe this would be horses, dogs or cats, maybe even fishes. And it would be that being, and what they're determining here, is that they're just simply open to a certain value about really wanting to know everything about that kind of being, or the communication with that kind of being, or the fascination of the information that may be available about that kind of being, or that quest. You see? So we're not just talking about another species. We're talking about maybe it can also be a gift of yourself. So it can be that, for example, before you learn to talk, that you actually learn music. Or some such thing like that. This doesn't mean to say it takes away from your physicality. What it means is that it's actually something that you've brought with you into your physical life and is simply signatory to your life because the connectivity between your consciousness is open to your spirit. So it means that for some people, when they come to have a physical life, certain parts, certain little bits of their pathway are, in a sense, illuminated by their beautiful, pure spirit. And the situations that you may have enjoyed before you came to have this physical life are, in a sense, then becoming translucent between your spirit and your conscious physical self. So it means that you have certain gifts surrounding that quality of life. It's part of the reason why it is that for some people, when perhaps they are 2.5 or 3 years of age, they, like some in the past history of the planet of Earth and of human history, we have seen have been actually able to play an instrument magically, beautifully, write sonatas, write extreme musical pieces which were actually beyond that person's years. Or maybe to do with drawing or painting, or some other artistic experience, pottery, maybe to do with some other thing to do with color, or perhaps to do with how you adorn a place, or a person. The gifts of spirit can be anything. It can be to do with fashion. It can be to do with making shoes. It can be to do with stonework, or carving, or some other practice. Might even be putting pipes together.
So it's a skill or an ability that is actually, it comes very natural to you.
Yes, not a learnt skill, as in you have to go to class and pummel it into your mind.
Although
you might do that and actually find that it's something that you gravitate to very well. That then can mean that your spirit in this happiness field that is created by your attention to it, to the subject, means that you generate energy between your conscious physical self and your spirit, thus allowing the spirit pathway and passage of energy from your beautiful, pure spirit to filter through into your conscious physical life, taking nothing away from your conscious physical life or your own physical endeavors to try to teach yourself something.
So it can be anything. It can be communication. It can be
Absolutely.
Talking to people.
Yes, it can be journalistic powers. It can be advances in mathematics. Can be almost anything.
So absolutely anything that you do, that just comes naturally, that you have a flair for,
yes.
And an ability to create easily and wonderfully.
And
it doesn't even have to be that it has to be absolutely amazingly fantastic. It just means that if it actually flows naturally from you.
Yes, that's right.
It doesn't mean to say it's that you don't have to work on a gift.
No, that's right. Absolutely. You have to develop it still.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say you just sit on your hands and everything comes to you.
No.
It means that, however, when working upon it, you gravitate with the creative field of your beautiful, pure spirit, and that means to say that you craft things in excess of other people's minds. That means it becomes something of beauty, something that is heralded and treasured, yes. Mm. And in many respects, many people then would say, on the physical side of life, well, that's taking away from my conscious physical journey. But what I'm saying is it isn't. It's enhancing your conscious physical journey. It's not taking anything away from your ability to learn or be creative on your own, in your own skill and your own worthiness. This doesn't take anything away from you, the individual. What it means is that your beautiful, pure spirit and the ability that you have, the store chest that you have, the enormous reservoir of information and understanding that comes through your beautiful, pure spirit from the ether world is, in fact, constant. It's just a matter of how you connect with that beauty and how you connect with the vitality of it to enable it to happen.
So basically your spirit is the essence. So let's lay this out for everybody. So your spirit is the essence of who you are, your higher consciousness.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yes.
It is you, you're just, your physical body is having this physical, material life at the moment, but you are, in essence, still a spirit traveller, as it were.
Yes, that's
okay?
Right.
So, all right, so your spirit has all of this wonderful ability, specifically as well, if it comes from a soul group.
Yes.
That has potentials.
And gives a coloration.
Okay.
Gives a kind of a quirkiness, in a sense, that people from one particular soul group will have an understanding or affinity with animals or certain kinds of animals. Sometimes that might be microcosmic. It might be something that's very minute and actually settle just on one kind of very specific affinity, and everything else is outside of it.
Yeah, so this is why some people are animal people, some people
yes.
aren't into animals at all, they're just into people or not into any of it or whatever. But this can actually come from their soul group energy, from their spirit energy.
That's right. That's what part of the reason why some people are, they can only tolerate cats, for example, and may have 20 or 40 or 60 living with them.
So
and they don't see it as a problem or as anything defined in that way that other people do.
So that would actually, if you went into their Akashic book and gave them a reading, then that would come, that would be seen in that, wouldn't it?
Oh yes, absolutely so. It's part of their inner quality.
Yeah. So many of our qualities and abilities not only come from our spirit essence, which is who we are, and, don't forget that you've lived eternally. So there's all of that wonderful essence there. And then, so obviously you do have flares. Everybody has a flair. Everybody has
something.
Has something.
Absolutely.
And this is why we are all different and nobody's better than other. All of our gifts are equal.
Yes.
Obviously we tend to look at each other and think, well, you know, the grass is always greener. Somebody's gift is better than ours. But so that's one of the ways that you can explain it. But there are other gifts of spirit as well, aren't there? And that would be the gifts of the spirit world.
Yes, that's right. Really, to do with gifts of clairvoyance, clairsentience, or clairaudience. Gifts of spirit, perhaps to do with communication with the spirit world in some other way, other than those aspects. There are situations of seership, maybe, but those are actually far rarer than has been given to be in existence. In exactly the same way as, in a sense, forms of telepathy, as well as within other situations, let's say, of more forms of different kinds of physical interactivity with the spirit world.
I think most people are familiar with the word psychic ability.
Yes.
And that.
But those are, yes, but they tend to be quite wrongly placed.
Yeah, but in different parts of the world, they call things, you know, you can be having a conversation with somebody in one part of the world about exactly the same thing, but they're
calling it psychic
or whatever,
or
channeling or whatever it is that you're talking about. We just have different terminologies
and labels.
Yeah,
that's really a matter of that is down to education of the individual and the way that there is no normalization of sequences of what words mean. So you are using, in a sense, the state of language in order to interpret what that feeling is or what that energy is, rather than understanding of its unique perception should be something that's equitable to all languages.
Well, yeah, in an ideal world,
yes,
absolutely.
Of course. And you will have certain people who will denigrate one part of the energy, as in calling everything psychic, or you will have others who will label everything else as being, let's say, the other one I feel is the channeling statement. That is, channeling of energy doesn't necessarily mean to say the being or the spirit of that being is with it. It means to say that it may be that you as a being channel an energy of someone who was passed, let's say, just because you're doing it in the way or manner of Elvis Presley or someone, you see?
Mm.
And that's not channeling his energy purely, but you're doing it in the manner of. So that's something completely different. He won't be anywhere near you, you see?
Yeah.
And all of those people pertaining to Michael Jackson, of course, that's is the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're teaching mediumship or psychic skills, abilities, or whatever, metaphysical abilities,
yes.
then you have to be a bit pedantic about it.
That's
obviously.
Right. Absolutely.
But I don't think a lot of the time that the average person who's maybe giving a message or listening to something is that bothered about where it's coming from.
No, quite
I mean.
So.
So it's content usually, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Which obviously is you could talk about that forever as well.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah. So there's the gifts of the spirit world, as in your spirit guides giving you messages and working with you in that way.
And there are those too, which can be quite different.
Which is mediumship.
Yeah.
And there are also the gifts of spirit, as in the essence of your psychic energy. You can work psychically and pick things that tune into everybody. I don't care who it is. Everybody has had a sort of I know who it is going to be on the end of the telephone. One of those moments.
Yes, quite so.
So, you know, everybody has psychic abilities. It's just whether you actually tap into them and work with them or not.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And so there's two or three different ways of covering that. Well, I hope that's helped you, Chris. No doubt. If not, you can email us and we can cover
that.
Absolutely. Let us know exactly which parts of it that you would like us to talk about a bit more.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Alrighty. Here we are. Here's one. I've had this for a while. Actually, this is another Chris in Devon.
Yes.
In the UK.
Anywhere.
Okay. He says, can you shed some light onto the spiritual significance of sacred geometry and the application of the Merkaba?
Merkaba.
There's quite a few different ways of people pronouncing it.
Yes, there
Merkaba.
Are.
Merkaba. Merkaba. And there's various different ways of spelling that as well.
Yes, there are.
As a vehicle of consciousness.
Well, let's see. Sacred geometry, that's in a sense, when all things are supposed to come to equal in the light of the universe, in the physical light of the universe, so as to bring ulterior meaning to the spiritual reverence of it. Many people put many different quantums into all of this. The Merkaba is really to do with the ascensionism of man, or the ascensionism of your spirit. When in actual fact, there is no such thing.
Okay.
And I mean this most sincerely. Because what it means by you being ascended is actually more to do with your physical morality and more to do with behavioral traits that you ignite within your physical pathway or in as a conscious setting toward the make-believe understanding that you can be better than someone else.
What about if you just want to be better than how you were yesterday?
Then that is a truism, is it not? That means that you are learning from past mistakes and responsibilities, and you are creating a different kind of axiom energy, which means that you will filter a different kind of energy into your state of being. That is progress in itself, because it means that you feel better about yourself. If you are dealing with how you will feel better about someone else that you don't know, so that you are, in a sense, making senseless, pointless judgments about someone else, whom you do not know, therefore are out of step with that person, and are then in a sense being selfish, or in a sense being altruistic about your own ascension over them. That means to say in itself that you are planting yourself, pliant in a sense, away from and above someone else's ability to exist. That in a sense is like human beings taking the ratification process of self-worth and actually multiplying it exponentially, so thinking that their guidance within their physical life is somehow miraculously going to continue on throughout their spiritual journey and be higher and better than others, or a path of ascension that is in somehow, some way, marking you as different, better, and in a sense more powerful, more beautiful.
So now, yeah, I mean, look, we know people that people do get into this as a vehicle of ascension, and that's absolutely fine if you want to work on yourself and that's the way.
Absolutely.
And there are many people that do that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you're just talking about the worst case scenario.
Yes, and I'm not shying away from that. What I'm saying is, if you want to improve yourself, do anything that enables that to happen, whether that's sitting on a cushion with your fingers in some miraculous or strange pose, or whatever it is, slighting or any other word that you are practicing and feeling the benefit of to the vibrational setting that it creates within you. That has to be a God-given right, and something that, in the hope of it, will lead to your success in understanding more of the truer value of self and your behavior toward others. That has only to lead to progress. And it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do it for selfless reasons. If, however, you are thinking of this as ascension in respect of not the quality or quantity of love that you can create, but rather the ability to create it with and attach to that a kind of a an identity mark, in a sense.
Yeah, I am.
Yes. And that is what I'm saying, then in fact leads you away from your set purpose. And so in that respect, I would have to say that I know that we've strayed away long away from the whole situation of the geophysical situation or sacred geometry or whatever. We're really talking about this ascensionist elitist state.
Yeah. Right.
And what I'm saying is, in fact, even a person who has done great harm in their physical life, their spirit is still beautiful and absolutely pure as yours.
Underneath it all.
What they lack is the connection between their conscious self and their beautiful, pure spirit. So they've lost it.
Well, so this would help somebody like that, wouldn't it?
Absolutely so.
Yeah.
And it means, too, that every single being who has laid a trap for themselves and created harm or dissolution or negativity, however that was created, can escape it. Not escape it without reason or understanding of the terror or harm that they have created in their pathway, but are making recompense and reconciliation for the deeds created.
Well, understanding that they need to do that is half of the battle, isn't it?
Absolutely,
really,
so.
To actually want to work on themselves. But let's,
yes.
If we can talk about just it, you know, because they do, it's brandished about when you say Google this situation.
Google?
Yeah, if you go on the internet and look up about the macabre, it's for serious spiritual seekers, and then it's allegedly the divine light vehicle used by ascended masters to connect with and reach those in tune with the higher vibrations.
Yes.
But the benefits, they say, include powerful healing and protection tools and that sort of thing. And utilizing different forms of breathing and techniques that enable people to attain enlightenment in this lifetime. And you have to go through these different things, you know. I mean, like I say, I don't see anything wrong with that if it's something that you think, and let's face it, anyway, if you think it's going to work for you and it feels good and you're happy and everything, then why not?
Absolutely. I understand.
You know, so, but at the end of the day, I know that you would say that it's just to actually go within and communicate with your spirit would do exactly the same thing.
It's far more simple.
Yes.
You don't have to go through many hoops. Mm. You don't have to go through some echelon of higher understanding or through some ascended path. That means that you have gravitated toward the same pathway that others mysteriously say they are on. That's a matter of, I am better than you, isn't it? And yeah. How can anyone who has truly aligned themselves and become enlightened, the last thing they're going to say is that I am enlightened. Because if they say that, then they're not, clearly.
Because that's ego.
Because that's ego. Mm. So the whole situation is about, how beautiful are you really? Are you really going to try to force this experiment within yourself and then try to be beyond other people? Or are you actually saying that the love within you is purer than your love? So I can give you a little bit of my love, but it's at a price. And the price that you have to pay for a little bit of my love is this much. You see? Mm. Because it's actually quite expensive to be in these little cliques and these little organizations, which then create separatism among themselves.
Yeah, well, it's like another religion,
and really, elitism,
isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And
another power-based struggle.
Yeah, and the actual macabre stories are, if you look in again on the internet, there are various different methods and styles and references to it. But most of it is to do with religion from this planet.
Yes, that's right. And actually has nothing whatsoever to do with the universe.
No, absolutely nothing. So, you know, at the end of the day, if everybody did this, like we say, if everybody meditated, did our Stacey meditation or a meditation, then...
That enables that, you to connect.
Yeah, just to connect. Then absolutely fine. The world is going to be a better place.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. As long as you don't keep it to yourself and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg and that everybody can do it. It's simple. Because at the end of the day, that's the other thing, isn't it, that you say, is that if it's not simple, then it's not truth. It's not to do with the spirit. Because it has to be simple and it has to be accessible to everybody. It can't be that you can only learn this if you pay all of this money to join this elite group and go do the course and all of the rest of it and then get the other tape and then go on to that.
Yes,
it's
that's
just,
right.
It can't be. It just can't be.
No, indeed not.
You know. So
That's just...
Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing that we worry about a lot of the time, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Gregory, is that people spend so much time working on things that they think they've got to work through from karma, etc., and where they're going when they leave here and worrying about that they don't actually put 100% into their life now and helping the planet and everybody on it now. And focus is all about, you know, the past, the future, like the way in the future. And instead of making an effort into actually doing something now about the world.
Yes, for the planet, for its well-being, for anything else to do with the planet. It's there's absolutely, I suppose, in a sense, one field of people who are sitting there citing some religious significance or whatever and are praying for the planet's survival. And you may have 1,000 people sitting in a field, 10,000 people sitting in a field. And yes, they will create a lovely vibration, perhaps. However, it may be that the person who is in the next field, who is actually laying a trench which is there to irrigate water into the field next to it, is actually creating more balance and more perfection in the planet and human beings' deliverance of it. Yes? Mm. That is surely something that is more beautiful. Mm. If you're digging a well for somebody who cannot dig and you are providing them with water, isn't that a more beautiful statement to make than 10,000 people sitting in a tree or sitting in a field thinking of somewhere else on the other side of the planet?
Mm. Absolutely.
Far better to go there and do something.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it was only when, you know, on my spiritual pathway many years ago, I was so obsessed about, well, I'm discovering things, and I was becoming aware of so many things that it was actually becoming a negative situation, because I was so earnest about it. I so
yes.
wanted to know everything and do everything, and oh well, this may be it and that may be it, and then when I gave up and thought, oh. Few, you know, forget it. If it's going to happen, it's happened. Because, you know, the actual awakening happened without me realizing, as you know,
yes,
if you
yes.
like to call it that.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And it was only until I actually let go of all of that things started to flow within me
and move into the right space.
Yes, yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
so,
yes.
you know, some of these things can be, you know, we can go through these emotions and. It can get a bit angst-ridden at times.
Yes.
So we have to just go with the flow sometimes, folks. And simple is best.
These
right?
things can simply become boulders which block the stream of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yes. And I know we're all different, and we're all going to find our own way. But
yes.
Anyway, well, thank you very much for that, Chris. And like I say, do get back in touch again if there's areas of it that you would like us to elaborate on further.
Yes, yes, please do.
And thank you very much, Gregory. That was quick.
Yes, yes. God bless and love and blessings,
yep.
of
yep.
course, on your pathway.
Yep.
Thank you so very, very much. Love and light, as
okay.
ever.
Thank you very much, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit us our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. You've been listening to the wonderful bbsradio.com, and this has been Spirit's Work. I'm Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.